Blog Talk Radio.
All right, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Foodomania. This is Chef Stewardo, and today's show, we're going to do the grilling extravaganza because, you know, the weather's changing all over, and more days are going to be spent outside. So I'm going to tell you how to have just the greatest grilling party you can imagine. And that's, you know, something that many people like to do, men and women alike. You know, guys are always the ones that are sort of manning the grill, but I have to tell you that some of the best grills I've ever had have been done by women. And so it's a multi-unisexual cooking experience. In other words, you don't have to be just a guy to do it. All right, so today is beautiful, beautiful June 16th, Saturday. Wonderful kind of amazing things are happening all over the place. Today right here in Washington State, it's Berry Berry Day, and it's a great celebration of the great berries and things that are going to be grown on the vines and something delicious to eat. I really want to thank everybody for the great response and all the listeners that have been enjoying all the Foodomania shows. Thank you. I've gotten a couple of emails, and I'll get to reading those a little bit later. Some comments that people have written in and some questions as well. All right. Well, for grilling, you need a grill. And there are a couple of different ways to do that. Now, some people have definite feelings about grilling, and this is the deal with grilling. Either you're a charcoal mesquite kind of person, or you're a propane kind of griller, or you're an open fire kind of griller. Either way, you can do some amazing things with each one of those mediums. I personally like wood, and I like mesquite, and I just think that the gas grills are great, and they're easy, and they're convenient, but this is something taste-wise that I really, really appreciate. The one good thing about the butane and the gas grills is that you can change and control the temperature a little bit more. And for some of the things we're going to do today, that makes a big difference. The way you control the temperature on a regular grill is to, and I'm talking about charcoal and mesquite, is to get the coals just to the right place. You want to get them started a good period of time before you actually start doing your cooking until they're all nice and red and burning really well. And then you'll have more of an even tasty heat. There's some things that, you know, require a little bit of time on a grill and some things that require a lot of time on a grill. So I'm going to play you something, a little wonderful little grilling experience with the salmon. And I think we'll start our show off with that. This is called Salmon in a Tent. Check it out.
Well, salmon season's upon us. And I want to teach you about the famous aluminum foil tent. Now, first you start out with a really nice salmon fillet. Very simple. You can go for a wild king or whatever salmon you like. Some people don't like farm-raised salmon. Sometimes the Atlantic farm-raised salmon with a higher fat content is still a very delicious fish. Whatever you have, this will surely work. And I usually like to do it on a grill. If you do it on an open fire, make sure the coals have died down really well. Here's what you do. Take your salmon fillet skin on and make sure that you give it a little bit of a rinse. Brush it with a light coat of olive oil and lay it on a piece of tin foil. Heavy-duty tin foil works the best. Make sure the foil is big enough because what we're going to do is wrap it up and make a tent out of it. In a bowl, I like to take a tablespoon of sesame oil, a cup of mayonnaise, a third of a cup of teriyaki or soy sauce, and a cup of brown sugar and mix that together. Slather that all over the fish from top to bottom. Don't be stingy, you can use quite a bit. Then take a lemon and slice about 10 rings about a quarter of an inch thick and lay the rings on top of the whole fish. Then grab each side of the tin foil, pull it up to the top, and roll the edges as they come together, forming a tent about 4.5 to 5 inches high above the fish, and make sure this is sealed really well. Carefully lift the tent with your salmon in it and place it on the grill. cover the top of the barbecue if it happens to be a gas one or a Weber, or if it's a fire pit, it really doesn't necessarily matter. The fish is going to take about 15 minutes or so to cook. You'll be able to hear the bubbling, and that's how I know it's done. At that point in time, gently remove it, let it sit for about a minute and a half to rest, and then carefully open up the tent. And be careful because that steam will come out and you don't want to get yourself a thermal burn. There it is, a very simple Alaskan fisherman style of cooking a salmon with a little bit of Asian flair. I hope you like it. I think it's going to be delicious. You can serve it with some roasted potatoes, fresh vegetables, corn on the cob works really good. Summer is on the way. I hope you enjoy this fish. This is Chef Stuardo with another cooking minute. Hey, let's eat!
And that's a really beautiful, simple recipe. Let me tell you right off the bat, if you have a pencil and paper, you can email me at any time, and I'll send you printed copies via email of all the recipes that we talk about today. And just here's how you get in touch with me. Send it to Chef Stuardo, that's C-H-E, F as in Frank, S as in Sam, T-U-A-R-T-O, at hotmail.com. You can also write me at 1020 Radio, and that's the number 1020, all in, 1020, radio right next to it, at gmail.com. And either one of those addresses will get you a recipe. All you have to do in the subject line is to write which one you want. And that also includes previous shows that you might have listened to recently and have a desire to have those recipes. I'm excited about that, and I love communicating with you. Now, also, you can call me at 323-580-5779. That's 323-580-5779. And call into the show. And if you have any questions or you want to tell me your great grilling idea, I'd love to put you on the air. And also, if you're on the Blog Talk Radio website right now for Foodomania, there is a chat window open. And if you don't feel like talking, please just in real time write me a note and I'll write you back or I'll tell it to you on the air. Either way. All right, let's begin. So we've talked about the medium of which we're going to use, whether it's a Weber sort of kettle grill, if it's a propane grill or an open fire. Today I'm going to teach you how to do a couple of different things, and let's talk about those right now. First of all, corn on the cob is a great thing to grill, and there's a little prep that's involved in that. Basically, what I like to do is clean the ears really well, make sure you remove all the little stringies and stuff, and then take it and put it in a piece of tin foil. And in the tin foil, take a little mixture of olive oil, butter, salt, and pepper, and brush the corn on all sides. Give it a little bit of extra seasoned salt if you like. And then go ahead and roll the corn in the tinfoil, tying up the ends, and go ahead and prep your corn. We'll be putting that on the grill first because it takes a little bit of time. Now, remember, your coals have died down a little bit. If you put them on an open flame, it's not going to help. You're going to burn the tinfoil, and the corn's not going to taste that great. So go ahead and get that started. Let's talk about a couple other things. Now, I always like to do shish kebabs or skewers, and if you're going to do that, let's talk about a couple of different things. First of all, if you're going to do beef, get a good hunk of sort of round or something like that, or sirloin, and take it and cut it into about 1.5 by 1.5 inch chunks, and go ahead and, remove most of the fat. If it's a little marbly, it'll only taste better. And take a little bowl and go ahead and put that in some olive oil, some salt and pepper, a little red wine vinegar, and you can also take a lemon, cut it in half, squeeze it into there, and take a half of an onion, cut the onion, and mince that into the mixture. And go ahead and you can do that the night before and marinate it overnight. It'll be great. Some people like to add a little soy sauce or teriyaki sauce to it to give it a little sweetness. Okay, then you're going to take some onions and you're going to quarter those onions so that you have some really nice pieces. We're going to go ahead and take whole mushrooms, paminis, really work nice. Just wash them a little bit or rub them. Some people don't believe in washing mushrooms. You like to just rub the outsides of them just to get the little compote off of it. And that'll be ready to go as well. I like to take a green and a red pepper and quarter those, remove all the seeds, and put those in another pile, and we're ready to go. Get a long bamboo skewer, usually about a 12-inch one will do, and just one at a time, a piece of meat. I like to put the onion next over the meat. I take a piece of pepper, a mushroom, and just keep rotating that until you get all your skewers done. A lot of people like the shrimp skewers. So go ahead and get a nice-sized prawn, a little bit bigger one. I like to call it prawns or larger shrimp. clean them really well. I like to leave the tails on them, make sure you take the belly and the veins out, clean them really good. Some people actually do them with the shells on, and that's okay too. And then it's the same process. You take your nice shrimp and marinate those in a little bit of a garlic oil, and make sure that you keep those in there for, you know, maybe a good half hour, 45 minutes. When you're making your skewers, go ahead and get those set up the same way: a shrimp, an onion, some pepper, and then a mushroom, and then just follow the same thing and get those skewers done. Chicken is done the same way. A nice either thigh meat or breast meat, cut them into nice sized pieces so they don't fall apart, and skewer those in the same way. So you have your chicken, you have your fish, and you have your meat kebabs. Okay, now potatoes are really good. Now, you know, a lot of people do the baked potato. You can wrap those up in foil, poke a few holes in it. What I like to do is tell you another way to do it, again, in a tin foil tin. Take your beautiful potatoes, use a Yukon Gold or a red potato, and cut them into about 1.5 to 2-inch chunks. And go ahead and wash them real good first. Of course, leave the skin on. Marinate those also in olive oil, salt and pepper, a little fresh garlic, a little bit of vinegar, and let those sit for another 45 minutes. Then drain them really good. Take a piece of foil, put all your potatoes in there, with a little bit of the juice, roll up your sides, and then you'll have your potatoes on the grill with the corn at the same time. And you may want to start those a little bit early, but make sure that during the course of the grilling that you pick up the tent with a pair of tongs, give it a little bit of shake to rotate the potatoes, and continue to coat them. Now, when you're putting your skewers on, remember, they're not going to take that long, so make sure that you get a brush with a little bit of your remainder of marinade, and you can brush that, all of them, with your individual marinades for all those skewers, and they'll be beautiful. Until you know they're done, they'll be nice and marked and grilled on all the outside, and keep brushing them. I call this the grilling extravaganza because it's really nice to do a little bit of everything for this grill. Now, let's talk about, you heard about salmon in a tin, but sometimes it's really nice to put a trout or a small salmon onto the grill directly. So what I would do is I would get a small coho. Salmons are really nice. They're, you can almost get the small ones. They can be an individual fish. You're going to clean them. That's opening up through the belly. Take out all your entrails and all your guts and stuff like that. Clean it really well. Give it a little rinse. And I like to stuff those with some fresh herbs, some lemon slices, and I put a little bit of chopped parsley in there, a little bit of garlic, a little bit of butter, and a little bit of oil, and then go ahead and brush the fish on all sides. Now, you could do that a little bit earlier, too, and get those all prepped to go, and they'll go on the grill, right on the grill, and make sure you have a little bit of oil to brush them as they go. And they don't take too long on the grill. Basically, you know, you don't want to overcook salmon or trout. You want to get it just right. Now, a trout's a different kind of fish. Of course, it's kind of a bony thing. And some people like to remove all the bones first before you do that. And the same thing with the salmon. If you have the skill to be able to do that and carefully pull out the bone, if not, just be aware when you serve the fish, let your diners know that there may be a few bones in there, and just to be careful and be aware of that. It's not fun to have a grilling party and have anybody choking on the bones, if you know what I mean. So we have a beautiful grilled fish. All right, this is another part of the menu, which is the starch part or the bread part. Now, there is nothing in the world like a grilled flatbread on the grill, and you could take it that much further. You can do it as a non-bread, and I've talked about that in earlier Food Manias, or as a pizza. Let me tell you what the dough recipe is. It's very simple. You take a big bowl, and what you do is you take 1 cup of warm water into the bowl. And I would say warm, not boiling, but just sort of warm. And go ahead and take, the easiest thing is 1 package of quick rise yeast, or if you don't have a package, it would be 1 level tablespoon of a really nice yeast into the water. Go ahead and put 2 tablespoons of olive oil, 1 tablespoon of sugar, and then a little bit of honey in there, and a little bit of salt and pepper, and just give it a good stir and let it ferment for about 10 minutes. Then carefully add, with a wooden spoon, 1 cup of flour, start stirring it, it'll become a little slurry mixture, and then slowly but surely add a 2nd cup, it's going to get a little thicker, and then finally the 3rd cup, and then at that point in time, your spoon's going to have a little bit of difficulty. So with clean hands, go ahead and remove the spoon, take all the leftover stuff that's on the end of the wooden spoon, and put it back into the bowl, and use your hands and start working the dough. Now, on a cutting board, slightly, just at this point in time, take a little bit of flour and flour your cutting board in advance. Keep rolling your dough and keep pulling it into a ball until it's soft, creamy feeling, but not sticky. So in other words, how do you know that? Stick your finger in and pull it out, and it should be able to come free. You may get a little bit of sticky on it. If that's the case, add just a little bit more flour. You don't want to put too much flour, but just enough until it's actually nice and soft and it's not gummy on your fingers. Now, at that point in time, take it, put it on your board, go ahead and press it down, fold it a few times, get it really mixed up really good. Then take another bowl, put a little bit of olive oil on the bottom of the bowl, put the ball into that bowl, and take a warm, wet cloth, a clean towel, and put it over the top of the bowl and stick it in the hottest part of your kitchen and give it about 45 minutes to an hour to rise. You can make that in advance. If you make it the day before, it's fine. Just pull it out of the fridge about an hour before you're going to use it. Now, that ball of dough should have risen beautifully, and it'll actually give you four really nice individual panini-type breads or flatbreads or little pizzas. If you want to make a big pizza, just cut it in half. Now, at this point in time, you're going to end up on the grill, so you're going to have to be really careful about this. When you're preparing the pizza, sometimes you'll have a slight little wooden paddle or a wooden cutting board. Make sure you flour or a little bit of cornmeal on that, and go ahead and pull your dough out till it forms a really nice pizza sort of thing. Now, and go ahead and brush a little olive oil on the top. And at the same time, you want to take a little bit of your fresh herbs. Now, in one of the pictures, if you saw any of the pictures on the Facebook pages, you'll see I've made actually a grilled London broil pizza, which is really nice. So if you're taking a piece of London broil, you can actually pre-cook it a little bit on the grill. Make sure you do it nice and rare, and then slice it, add it to the top of your flatbread. Go ahead and put a little bit of fontina, a little bit of Monterey Jack and Parmesan cheese, some thin slices of tomato, and slowly but surely kiss it on your grill. Give it a little spray with some cooking spray, and then gently toss your pizza dough onto the grill. Now you use your little paddle or a little plate you can use to make sure, you know, it's moving. So if you have a little flour or cornmeal underneath, it should slide right off the plate onto the grill. You don't have to do much to it once it hits the grill, except rotate it a couple of times during the cooking process, and it really won't take more than about 7 or 8 minutes. If you have a top to your barbecue at this point, you can pull it down, which will give it a little bit of a, you know, warmer environment, and it'll rise it a little bit more. So you'll have a beautiful, delicious bread to go with it. If you don't want to put toppings on it, you can just put some fresh herbs, a little bit of crushed garlic, a little bit of butter, and just make a really nice bread that way. And let people pull it apart and fold their own pieces of fish or whatever you want in it, and you can eat it with your fingers like that. It's delicious. Now, check your corn. Your corn is probably really close to being done. I'm a little bit concerned about the potatoes, so make sure they're not burning. You can take them off and carefully, with a set of tongs, open the foil and see if you can see the potatoes and roll them around a little bit, and they should be steaming and beautiful, and the smells are just going to be incredible. So our extravaganza continues. Now, for dessert, there's a couple of different things that I would really like to do for dessert, and this is what I like. I like to make my own little bit of whipped cream. So get a cup of whipping cream, about a tablespoon of vanilla, and then about 2 tablespoons of confectioner sugar, and go ahead and put that in the blender, and you can go ahead and make your whipped cream. Don't overblend it. As soon as it gets thick, it's done. Remove it from the blender, place it in a bowl, and stick that in your fridge until we're ready. Now, what we're going to do for dessert is a really simple peach cobbler. Now, right now, peaches are starting to get in season, so you want to take a couple of peaches. I would say 4 nice-sized ones. Remove the skin, cut them into chunks, marinate them in a little bit of in their own juices, put a little bit of brown sugar over the top of it, and you'll create some juice for those. Then simply in a small pan, and you can use, you can make a tinfoil pan, but if you have a very simple little, you can get those little tinfoil pans, I want you to do the following. I want you to simply melt about 1/3 of a stick of butter into the pan. Once that's there, I want you to take literally 3 tablespoons of flour and a little bit of water, mix that together and make a slurry, and go ahead and pour that into the butter. Then go ahead and place your peaches accordingly around it. I really like to do that. You know, something that dresses it up really nice is if you have some fresh pineapple, take a little bit of the chunks of the fresh pineapple and add that to your peaches. I'm telling you, it's really something. Then the remainder of your slurry, you might have to make a little bit more, so another 3 to 6 tablespoons with a little bit of water. Move it around and go ahead and put that the slurry over it. Don't cover it all, just in between the peaches. Go ahead and put a piece of foil over your pan and go ahead and put that on the grill about halfway through. It's going to take about 15 minutes, and you're going to have a grilled cobbler that is going to be absolutely delicious for dessert. If you want to do skewers, you can take some beautiful apples, some peaches, and a couple of pears, if you have pears, and go ahead and make a skewer out of all three of those. Brush them with a little bit of sugary butter. So you take a little bit of butter and melt it and put a tablespoon of brown sugar into that butter mixture and go ahead and grill that. It's really nice. And, of course, don't forget to pull out your whipped cream for the top of that. And you are going to have an incredible grilling extravaganza. So let's review. Let's start from the back to the front. We just told you how to make your peach pineapple cobbler on the grill. You'll do that about halfway through your cooking process, so it'll be nice and beautiful for dessert. Now, you're going to go ahead and coming back, you're going to make your flatbread. I gave you the dough recipe. You can top it with whatever you want and call it a pizza. You can eat it by itself and call it a naan bread. Remember, that's designed to either have as a pizza or just the bread. You can rip pieces off as you're eating and put little pieces of fish and a little bit of your skewer in there. All right, then don't forget the stuffed salmon. You're going to get the small cohos or a trout. Try to remove the bones if you can. Clean them out on the inside. Stuff them with some lemon slices, some fresh herbs, some onion, a little bit of garlic. Brush them in oil and put those on your grill. Delicious. Then don't forget the potatoes. You are going to take Yukon Golds or red potatoes or a little bit of both to cut them into about 1.5 to 2 inch chunks. Marinate them in olive oil and a couple of salt and peppers and herbs and that sort of thing. Move that around. Go ahead and stick that on your grill in a tent, which is a tin foil thing, and make sure that you work with them during the cooking process to carefully shake the little tent and make sure they're all getting cooked on each side. Then, of course, we talked about our skewers. We did a shrimp skewer, nice-sized prawns or shrimp. Make sure you clean out the veins if you can. If not, you absolutely can leave them in the shell. Rotate them on the skewer with a piece of onion, a chunk of pepper, and a really nice mushroom. Make sure you marinate your shrimp in a little bit of oil and herbs and fresh lemon juice before you do that. And, of course, we talked about our regular kebabs, which are steak or chicken, and you'll have those kebabs. They'll be delicious. Now, remember, anything tastes good on a grill. So if the kebabs don't work, you can do some chicken. Now, chicken is tricky, and a lot of times that, you know, what happens is because of the length of the cooking process, the skin gets burned. So what I like to do is a little bit of a trick. What I have done in the past is I get my chicken prepped and ready to go. I put it on a sheet pan, and I stick it in the oven at 350 for about 10 minutes, and it gives a little bit of head start. Then at that point in time, I'll brush it with my, you know, seasoning and my oil. And at that point in time, I'll put it on the grill. That's whole chicken. If you're going to just use a breast or a thigh meat, remember, that doesn't take very long. So you want to watch that. Now, one of the tricks on grilling is this. Let's consider a nice piece of chicken breast. You'll go ahead and stick it on the grill. You'll give it a few minutes. Then you want to rotate it on the same side about 90 degrees and give it another couple of minutes. And then when you flip it over, you'll have this beautiful diagonal grilling mark. It'll look sort of like a checkerboard. Do the same thing on the other side. Learn how to do that with all you meat, because not only does it cook it nicely, but it gives it a really, really good look. And grilling is a really fun thing, and it's endless about the things that you can do. So let me tell you how to get in touch with me again. For any of the recipes that we talked about today, from salmon and tent to everything I just mentioned, please write me at Chef Stuarto, that's C-H-E, S as in Frank, S as in Sam, T-U, A-R-T-O at hotmail.com. You can also reach me at 1020, that's number 1020, and with the word radio right next to it, at gmail.com. Either of those email addresses will absolutely get you the recipes. Just in the subject line, write the topic that we were talking about, and I will absolutely email you. And I'll also put you on the email list, because if you do that, then you'll automatically receive the recipes every week. And that's why it's important to sign up for that. You can go to my Facebook page, which is Stuardo Glasser, and that would be a great thing to do. And just send me a friend request, and you'll be on the mailing list. So you'll receive automatic notices of things that are going on in shows and recipes automatically. Now, another site I want to tell you about, it's called 1020radio.net. So go to www.1020, that's the numbers, 1020radio.net, and that's my other radio station, my own internet station, and learn a little bit about 1020 by going there. We broadcast currently every single day, 4 hours on the average a day, and also Sunday is a great day because I replay the Kitchen Cuisine series, which is my food series that is actually on the air nationally. You can get it at www.ksvr.org, or you can get it on lots of NPR stations. Just go ahead and put Kitchen Cuisine into Google, and it'll tell you where and when in your area that show is going to play. But you can go to 1020 Radio and listen to the Kitchen Cuisine Marathon, which starts at noon, and that is 12 noon on the East Coast. I'm sorry, 12 noon on the West Coast and 3 o'clock in the afternoon on the East Coast, and it goes for 6 hours. You'll have 6 hours of Kitchen Cuisine, and the shows are great. Everything from bakers and farmers, and a live cooking recipe where I cook live right on the radio, and it'll also tell you how to get in touch with me for more of those recipes. You can also, when you go to 1020radio.net, make sure you go to the archive window and open it up, and you'll get lots of recipes that way, and you can automatically sign up to 1020 Radio and get these recipes and download them on your own at any time. So therefore, you will have a complete recipe box, just Stuardo's many, many recipes all over the place. Now, I appreciate it. I'm sad that not too many people called in today, but please remember, every week, 9 o'clock on the West Coast, 12 noon on the East Coast, you can be part of Foodomania anytime by calling 323-580-5779 and call in and be part of the show, or you can also chat with me live online. In 2 weeks, we'll be starting Skype. So not only will you be able to hear the show, you'll be able to see me as well. And I will be in the kitchen or out in the field doing some really good cooking right from the garden. 2 weeks will be the garden cooking show where I'll actually be harvesting and cooking right on the air. I'll be pulling stuff up, and you'll actually be able to see me doing that because we'll be having a video of the show simulcast on 1020 Radio Live. So you'll have the best of Blog Talk Radio and the best of 1020 Radio at the same time. And that's thanks to the people at Ustream for making that possible. Well, I've had a lot of fun with you all today, and I'm really, really excited about next week's show because next week's show is the Falafel Show. It's the Middle Eastern show, and we're going to be talking about great foods from the Middle East, including falafel, baba ganoush, Greek salad, a Greek salad that you've never tasted, a Spanish tuna salad, a salad that I ate many times in Spain. I'm going to tell you how to work with tuna fish in a way that you've never, ever done before, and you'll love it, I promise. I want to thank everybody who's listening for being part of my show today. I look forward to next week. Tell your friends about it. And remember, go to Facebook, Stuardo Glasser, and send me a friend request, and you'll be part of the show next time. All right. Thanks a lot, everybody. We'll see you next week. This is Stuardo for Foodomania saying, take it easy. Shoulder to cry on, I hope it will be mine.
call me tonight.